Also want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning, and it is good to be in the house of God. I enjoyed the service so far and have been challenged in my own life. Also bring greetings from the Piedmont congregation. We always are looking for visitors down there as well. You're welcome to come there anytime. For a message this morning, I guess we all probably have thought about it, that it's Father's Day, and so I've chosen to think about that subject this morning. Title of the message is just simply Godly Fathers. Probably the fact that you're here this morning and in God's house to worship is a good indicator that you want to be a godly father. I know this is directed to maybe to the men's side this morning, but for you ladies, if you want to think about how you can help your husband to be a godly father, maybe you can get some thoughts for yourself in that as well. I certainly don't feel like I have attained to being everything that I should be as a father. I'm not bringing this message because I'm the example that you need to look to, but I believe we can find the answers in the Word of God, and just want to bring it to be an encouragement to us that we take our place as fathers, be an example to our children, teach them, and so that they can, in turn, learn to know about God. That's finally what we want in our life, is to, as we bring our children up, that they would learn to know the Heavenly Father. Well, we can do a lot of teaching. We can tell our children a lot of things, teach them a lot of things, but I think one part of being a godly father is to be an example. I just thought about some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is Paul writing here. He says, "I write not these things to you to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." So I think he's showing us here that we can teach, and there can be instructors. And the difference between an instructor and a father is the father gives direction, and he walks with the person that he instructs. It's pretty important in today's world to be a good instructor, to have a lot of knowledge and to know a lot of things. But he says here that though you have 10,000 of them, yet you have not many fathers, bringing out the importance, more importance, putting on someone that will teach and train and walk with those that he is teaching. So it's not really as popular to follow the example or to follow your own teaching as it is to teach. We need instruction, but we need fathers to help us to show the way. He says here, he was willing here in verse 16, says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." He was willing to lay out his life. I think that is another important thing that we need to understand as we teach, that we lay out our own life and make sure that we are following the teaching that we give. So he says here, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Another verse he said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example." So it is important to be the example that we need. Was thinking about in the scriptures some examples of those that maybe were instructors, and thought about Solomon. We know that Solomon gave a lot of good, sound teaching, a lot of good principles to go by in life, and yet his own life was not really that put together. He didn't really follow the example or the teaching that he gave, and we see the chaos that brought in his life, how the kingdom was divided after him. There you have an example of someone that had a lot of good teaching, but his children didn't have the example to follow that they should have. And then maybe on the other side would be Eli. He was, as far as I know, was a godly man. And he did what was right. God blessed his life and his work. And yet, when his sons did things that they shouldn't have done, he didn't instruct them. He didn't he didn't carry out the instruction that God wanted him to give them. So I think we can see just trying to bring out the importance of the balance between instruction and the example that we need to be. There is a lot of, probably too, we ought to talk about the responsibility of each person to make their own decisions. I'm not going to be a perfect father, and you probably won't be either, and yet I think our children can understand our heart. Maybe that's more important than being perfect, is that they understand that we want to do what's right, and each person has the responsibility to make their own decisions in life. And we want to, like, for you to think about that. Maybe you see a lot of things in your father that should have been different, but yet today you're responsible for where you are. And we need to, we talk about the influence of a father in your home and in your life, yet we finally need to rise above the problems that we see in others. And that could go for fathers or for leaders in a general way as well. There are a lot of different experiences that people have in life. Was just thinking about the difference between the home that I was raised in and the home that my wife was raised in. Her father was unfaithful to his wife when she was little. It was going on when she was, 3 to 5 years old. And at 5 years old, he left home and divorced her mom, and has not made things right yet. And that's something that she grew up with, and the heartache that came in with that, and the things that they suffered because of that was very hard years in their life. And I think about the home that I was raised in. My father was not perfect. I'm sure he was not. But at 5 years old, I don't even think I understood that men would do such a thing. It never entered my mind. And so you see the difference in what people face in their life. It was a very real thing for my wife in her experience. But for me, I never had a clue that kind of thing would happen. So it is important, the instruction, the example that we leave for our children, and the long-term heartache and things that we can bring into the life of our children. Okay, I'm going to just take the title Godly Fathers and just take that and use the letters there for my points for the message, the Godly Fathers. So the first letter is the letter G. I have for that is God-given responsibility. We know that God, as we have husband and wife together, God has given father's responsibility. And maybe we don't understand that as much when we first get married. We know that we have a responsibility to our wife, but as children are born into our home, we probably understand that a little bit more. Ephesians 5 verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." So it is a God-given responsibility. We don't just go out and pursue the things of life and marriage and things like that without knowing where God is actually leading and giving responsibility. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So we are responsible. And I remember thinking about that as when our oldest child was born. The responsibility of children probably hadn't dawned on me as much as it should have. But when your first child is born and you hold them, you understand some of that responsibility comes home, and you understand it then, and you think about this soul and the long term, how your own life is going to affect this soul. Before, it was always someone else's responsibility, but when she was born, it was my responsibility, and it's very important that we understand that. Well, we're responsible as godly fathers to teach our children about God. It's said many times that children have their concept of God by how their father is, the example that they learn from him. So that shows us the importance of how we respond to our children, how we teach them, how we are an example to them. I think it's a very important part of a father's work to teach our children about God and to bring into everyday life and as simple things as the sunsets and the beautiful things that God gives us, how we talk about that and lead them to think about God in the everyday things of life. I know there's many deviations we face in the world today. The disruption of the order of headship. There's men that are keepers of home at the home, and there's women that have careers. And let's just make sure that we're not influenced by that. It's still your responsibility as fathers today, no matter what the world does, that we are the one that leads out in the home, not in an arrogant or a bullish way, but in a very kind and godly way that we lead in the home, that we are the ones that take care of the physical needs and the spiritual needs, take the lead in that. Okay, the next letter is the letter O, and for that I have one man, one woman equals one flesh. You can turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." There we have distinctly the man and the woman becoming one flesh. Also in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." So we see God's arrangement is very simple, very pure, and we know that that's the way God wants it to continue. As we talked about before, there's many different arrangements that are going on in the world, but this is the way God designed the home. This is the way we need to work at it together as husbands and wife from that foundation. Going on to letter D, I have that down as for duties, the duties of a father. You can go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." There's a duty there. Maybe we shouldn't always think about it as a duty, but as a privilege. To love our wives, and that involves so much more than just what we see in the display of love that people give in everyday life, but the love in little things, to love your wife and to understand her needs as a weaker vessel, and to work with that in all areas of life, whether it's the physical, the emotional. There's many differences between a man and a woman, and we are responsible as fathers to love our wives in all areas of life. I think about the verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 there when it comes to that. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Giving honor unto your wife. And it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. God made us different. That's what draws us together a lot of times. And yet we're still heirs together of the grace of life, a privilege that we can be equal in God's sight and work together in the home. The other duty that God gives to fathers is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I think basically in the scripture, those two duties, to love your wife and to bring up your children, in a nutshell, are the two duties given to a father. Very important that we bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Also like to look at Psalm 78 as an example of that, or a lack of doing that. Psalm 78, verses 3 through 8. Some of these fathers had been faithful. He's saying, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. It says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, and that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So we see how one generation, the fathers tell the children, and then in turn they grow up and they tell their children, and it continues on. It's a very big responsibility that we have. And he goes down then a little bit further there, bringing out maybe the side of our own personal responsibility. In verse 9, he says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. There we have an example of a set of people that had what they needed to face the day, but they turned around and fled from their enemies. So it is important as fathers to teach and to train. And yet, as young men, we need to take responsibility and rise up and take the ammunition that we have and face. We are responsible to take it on. Okay, the next letter is L. I have the love of God, love for God and family. I think it should be very evident as fathers that our children know we love the Lord, that we have a close walk with him. I think it's a good thing. I don't think that we should on purpose have our Bible reading right where their children can see it necessarily, but I think it's a good thing that they understand. They know, they can see it if they walk by that dad is reading his Bible and he's meditating on what God wants him to have. I know there could be a display, a hypocritical display. We heard about being a hypocrite in Sunday school. But it shouldn't be uncommon for our children to see us reading our Bible and studying it and wanting to know what God wants for our life. I think we have to, as fathers, we have to have a right relationship, a right love for God before we can in turn have a right expression of love for our children. Well, we know that loving it brings out, when we love, we bring out the best in someone. We do what is best for them, and God has told us to bring discipline into our children's lives so that they in turn can learn what's right and what's wrong. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Well, talks about the hard things about love there, that love will bring chastening to our children. And that's hard to do consistently, but it's how God works with us. You think about how God chastens us. Hebrews 12 verse 10 talks about the chastening of the Lord, that he does it for our eternal good. And I'll just read that verse. Hebrews 12 verse 10 talks about our fathers chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's the way Jesus chastens, that's the way God chastens us, is for our profit, for our holiness. In verse 11 it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So that's the way we should work in the lives of our children. The love that we have should flow out into our discipline, that we understand that they need some discipline, and in love we administer that. I think it's always a good thing to remember when we discipline our children that we do it for their eternal good. Many times I'm tempted to discipline my children because I was embarrassed by what they did, and that's a very poor reason to discipline your child, but we do it because we love them, that we want them to learn from their mistakes and to help them on through life, help them to learn the principles of life. Okay, the next letter is Y. Let's look at Psalm 127, verse 1. I have with that is yoked with God. Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Just bringing out the necessity of being in a team with God, being yoked with Him. We can try to do everything right, but unless we want to do it with God, I think it says here that it's showing us here that we're laboring in vain, or teaching is in vain, or building is in vain unless we yoke up with God and do it along with Him. Jesus talked about those that are burdened down. It says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I think that rest then can be displayed or be experienced in our homes as we put our shoulder to the wheel with God and do it along with Him. Our children need to understand that we are doing it with God. They need to see that. Okay, the next letter is F. I just have simply for that, he's a family man. Godly father is a family man. And you think about that, the difference between when you hear family man and when you hear businessman. Just recently, I had a man ask me about another person that had, he did a lot of, well, it was my nutritionist, comes down from Pennsylvania down and spends about a week down in Virginia through some rotates, goes around to different dairies and works with their rations and so forth. And he spends a lot of time away from home. He goes other weeks then to other parts of the country. And another person, worldly man, asked me, is he a family man? Well, you see how he knew the difference between a businessman and a family man. I think it's very important that we are family oriented. I know that as a family man, then God says that we should provide for our own, and that takes us sometimes away the more than what we would like, but it should always be to provide for our own and to give to others. That's the purpose, not to build an empire, not to make a name for ourselves, but that's the difference between a family man and a businessman. Well, a family man will lead the family in worship. He will lead them in experience with God. I think it's important that we take the time out of our busy schedules, that we lead the family in worship. It's an important part of our daily life. I don't know if it's like y'all are like me, but it's sometimes hard to fit all that in. There's many things, interruptions that come, phone rings, and just a lot of different things seems like can interrupt that. But try to find a time in the day where you can do that and not be interrupted. We probably can do that if we try. The next letter is A. I have this accountable to God and to your wife. Of course, all of us are accountable to God. We understand that, but we need to make sure that we know, let our wife know where we are. I don't think it should be a problem for us to tell our wife where we have been through the day, the experiences that we have through the day. I think that provides an openness between a father and a mother as we can do that. And there should be no secrets. Think about that in what I was talking about earlier with my wife's father. There was secrets in his life that he did not let his wife know. And he lied about where he was, what he was doing. And it's very important that we are open with our life. Why would we want to hide where we are? And we have cell phones or smartphones nowadays. We have pickup trucks we can hide things in. let them know all about it. And I think along with that is that even the temptations that we have, I think it's important that we share with our wife. We know we live in an evil world, and there's many things out there that we face. I believe it's an important part to understand our accountability to our wife and open up and share with them. Okay, the next letter I have is T. I have for that is the time for the important things of life, taking the time. Where does a father find the time for everything that needs to be done? Seems like the older you get and the more children you have, the faster time goes. So I don't know if you have less of it or what, but it is a very important factor in our life that we take the time for the important things, teaching and talking to our children about God. There's a couple of verses in Deuteronomy I'd like to read, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 verse 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Also going over to chapter 6 verse 7. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Maybe that's a key there to how we can take time to teach our children. He's saying to do it while we are walking, while we are lying down, rising up. In other words, in the daily activities of life, we need to take those opportunities to make good use of our time in teaching our children about the things of God. As we working together, teach them how God wants us to work and to apply ourselves. And there's many other things. As you walk through the woods, you can teach them about the beauties of nature, how God has created things to bring glory to Him. Many ways that we can find time as we are busy in the work of the Lord. Well, teaching and training, disciplining children, the time for those things, we know that that is important. When you think about taking time for those things, just thought about it more recently, about taking time for important things. You think about older people as they sit in nursing homes and they have a lot of time on their hands, and as they reflect back on their life, what is most important to them? Yeah, if you ask them, was their career or the amount of money they made, was that important to them now, or is it the time that they spent with their children? I think they probably could give, at least some of them could give us good answers on that, because the career is gone, the money is gone, and no children come to visit, and that's a very sad situation. But let's make sure we invest our time and the things now that will last for eternity, beyond our old age even. Okay, the next letter is H. My point on that is helps with the lowly chores, the everyday things that need to be done. Maybe that go along with family man as well, but the things that need to be done around the house are just about endless. Our wives do need help in these things. It shouldn't be below our dignity to help with the garden and with the canning and so forth. Probably a lot of us like to go hunting, or we have some hobby that we like to do, and we take time for that. We do those things when we want to, but how easy is it to take some time to help our wife? I am amused sometimes when I see people that can take no problem taking a day off for a hobby, but when their wife is really tired, has a lot of garden to take care of and a lot of canning or whatever it is, they have to work because they need to pay the bills. Well, we do need to work and pay the bills, but the lowly chores, everything, everyday duties of life are very important to a family man, and we need to be willing to help with those things. I know we shouldn't run home from work just to for every little thing that needs to be done. I'm not saying that, but I think you understand what I mean. Make sure we help around the house. Next letter is the letter E. And that goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, the example that we need to be. Just thought about it, being an example in attendance to church and church-related activities. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And clear back then, they had the problem. It says, as the manner of some is. There were some back then already that had not been attending like they should. And I know there's sickness, there's things that come up in family life that hinder our church attendance, and we understand that. But when there is other activities that are more important, or we do big things on Tuesday evening and then we're too tired to come to church on Wednesday evening, our children will very easily pick up on that, and they'll see that, and they automatically make a impression on them that whatever we did Tuesday evening was more important than going to prayer meeting. Work habits, our speech, our conduct, many things we can be an example to our children in. More is caught than taught a lot of times. Okay, the next one is the letter R. I have for that is he recognizes, a godly father recognizes the needs and the contribution of each person in the family. I think we need to be aware of the needs, physical, the spiritual needs of our children, especially as they grow older, be aware of those things, and it's gonna take some work for us to do that. Recognizes the needs and the contribution. Think about the help that our children are to us. I think we ought to commend them for that. Give them some praise. They will flourish in that, and it'll make them more willing to help. Then the last one is the letter S, as we think about godly fathers, is the satisfaction in God's will. The plan of God has been given to us as for the home. God was very interested in the home because he established it right there in Genesis, at the beginning of Genesis. And we can't improve upon that plan. We need to follow it. We need to let God work that will, his will in our life, and that'll bring satisfaction to us. Yeah, I know that we won't maybe be able to pursue the pleasures of those that we see around us, but as you think about, and home life has its stresses, there isn't any doubt, but as you think about satisfaction in God's will, as you have an evening with your family, and they are at peace with you, they are willing to communicate and share what their struggles are, and you have your wife and family there, what better satisfaction is there to a man than that? 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Certainly as we think about our children growing up, the investment that we put into them, and as they grow up, I can only imagine the joy that would bring if when they turn their hearts over to God and become God's children. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Well, joy and satisfaction in God's will was found in doing his will more than just in a father. Even though we're not, some God doesn't call to get married, there's still places where each of us can find joy and satisfaction in God's will. I'm not saying that you have to be a father to find that, but it is, when God leads you there, it is a very satisfying place to be. Well, maybe a few thoughts to the young people and to the children. Make sure that you obey your parents. Be willing to obey them, not just obey them, but obey them willingly. And probably as you get a little older, you'll see some faults in your parents. And you wonder why that is, but remember that you're a human too, that you make mistakes, and maybe this goes more to youth than it does to children, but you'll see some faults there, but allow that to simply try to do better than that. Instead of making you bitter, you can make it help you to be better than rather than bitter. And young people as well, as you grow older and you think about marriage and then your children, remember that your children will probably be able to see some weaknesses in you as well. I think as we get older, the weaknesses we see in others, we can identify with them things more. Probably make harsher judgments when we're in the youth. But just remember that as you grow older, God gives you responsibility. And there will be people that see some weaknesses in you as well. While we think about children and our responsibility as parents, there's nothing on earth besides our children that we can take to heaven. Seems like we spend a lot of time on earthly things in this life. But remember, there's the only thing that we can take with us to heaven is our children. So God has given us a plan in His Word. He has His will for us. Let's make sure that we follow that plan. We need to make sure that there is love in our home. One of the things that is very important for children to see in a father is a right love for their mother. Our wives are not just our slaves. I think that is one of the best gifts as fathers that we can give to our children is to love their mother and show it, to be willing to show that love through our working with them and genuine help that they need in everyday life. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you as fathers. I'm sure there will be mistakes. There will be mistakes in my life, but mistakes we can go back and correct and we can go on, but when we give up, that's when the real problem is. So let's not give up. Let's press on. We have a generation coming that needs to hear the Word of God, and we have a generation that needs to walk with God. Let's be faithful. Let's kneel in prayer.